It's indeed a pleasure. Last week, last Friday, the Security Council of the United Nations had a rather unique meeting. They met to discuss the protection of minorities in the Middle East. Interestingly, convened and organized by the French foreign minister. In that context, my boss, the High Commissioner, UN High Commissioner for Human Rights, also had an opportunity to make a presentation and address the Security Council and discussing the root causes of the violence that we all know is taking place in the region and attacks against minorities. One of his key messages for states and international actors was that our attention to the human rights of minorities has been partial and sporadic. Partial in the sense that states have often focused only on communities with whom they share specific cultural ties, overlooking abuses of other minorities and brushing away concerns regarding minorities in their own countries. Sporadic because the rights of minorities are often only highlighted after the outbreak of extreme violence, even though that eruption is virtually always preceded by years of exclusion, disregard for linguistic and religious rights, and obstacles to full participation in the political, social, cultural, and economic life of the state. Now, that session was on Middle East, and of course the gravity and context of minority rights violations there are very different from what we witness in Europe. And yet I think that the same concerns of partial and sporadic attention to minority rights is also very much at the heart of minority rights challenges. Sorry, Astrid, I used the term challenges. We face in today's Europe. There are, of course, and there will always be those in Europe who actively oppose minority rights agenda. But at times, one gets the impression that also the supporters of minority rights have at times pushed for these rights only in a sporadic and partial manner. And this manifests not only, as Gunnar said, in that protecting minority rights seems to be much easier abroad than at home for some. To see how sporadic our attention to minority rights are, one only needs to compare the situation today with that prevailed 15, 20 years ago. 15, 20 years ago, we saw both political and legal debates and discussion on minority protection at national, regional, and international level taking place frequently. And now, or at least up until now, we can see that priority has shifted and minority rights are discussed and debated in increasingly small circles. And it almost appeared up until the conflict in Ukraine, as though some thought that minority issues in Europe were more or less solved and could be archived, as Francesco mentioned, except for issues related to new minorities and Roma and some other questions. Now, that is the impression one could have gotten, and definitely what Johan was saying also about the European Union level attention to minority and diversity issues is also telling us to where we are. And when I talk about eroding support and visibility, I'm talking about the prominence and attention by public leaders in Europe. It's true that monitoring mechanisms have continued to produce their reports and findings, and as you all know, we have no lack of mechanisms, really. We have a good work being done by the Advisory Committee, the Language Charter Committee of Experts, ECRI, increasing jurisprudence of the European Court of Human Rights, and of course OSCE High Commissioner does crucial work from the conflict prevention perspective. And at the UN we have treaty bodies, Special Rapporteur on Minority Issues, UPR and other mechanisms, all producing recommendations and advice, both thematic and country specific. What we are missing, however, is true and consistent political attention and support to the work of these mechanisms and follow-up to their findings. Not only are they often paid mere lip service by state authorities, they are also too often overlooked by decision-makers at the international level. And yet, I would say that the sharpening of the work of these mechanisms and giving them further support is our best hope in terms of getting things right. Without them and without support for them, we can easily end up with only two competing narratives, that of the state concerned and that of a kin state. Although often these two are both tilted, but tilted in different or opposite directions, one portraying the situation as being only one step from perfection and the other claiming it as a being a complete disaster. This goes not only for portrayal of the factual situation, but also for the interpretation of minority rights norms, whereas one side might try to gut minority rights standards from all of their content, the other might try to portray all concerns that minorities have as human rights violations. And situations such as one in Ukraine only reinforces such a conclusion. When we see that minority rights are being politicized or abused, we must react with more commitment to high-quality, objective analysis of these rights, not by walking away from these rights. We must make sure that minorities have effective remedies and channels to raise their concerns and not give the impression that kin states, which indeed can play an important role, for example, in supporting minority cultures, are the only place where their concerns are heard. It is therefore crucial that the results of unbiased, objective monitoring of minority rights based on international standards are produced, known, and used. And in doing so, we must be creative. The existing UN and European standards, I believe, are still very much workable in today's world and allow for evolving dynamic interpretation. And I think we've seen such developments, for example, in increased emphasis on obligation to promote inter-ethnic dialogue or recognition of multiple identities that was very much highlighted earlier today. I think they can also enable enhanced attention, for example, to religious minorities as well as to groups such as LGBTI persons belonging to minorities that I believe also need enhanced attention. As Francesco confirmed this morning, law is flexible in this sense. At the same time, we need to make sure that the old methods of monitoring do not become increasingly out of date in today's fast-paced world where bad and good minority rights developments are known and replicated. Yep. We need nimble methods of monitoring without sacrificing quality. We need to make sure that rights holders have access to them in both peaceful periods and at times of tension. And I am skipping many important points, but I have a very strict chair, so I will just conclude by saying that one important thing is that while we need more cooperation between various mechanisms at the international and regional mechanism dealing with minority rights, we also need to make sure that we don't keep the debate restricted to Strasbourg or Geneva, that we have find new ways to reach out to minorities, and that our message is actually reaching both minorities and majorities alike. Now, final point, Madam Chair. Petra mentioned that we need new champions, and I think that was a very important point, and I think that is very much true. And when I compare the minority rights debate with the indigenous rights debates, we see a huge difference in terms of really mobilizing and having energized stakeholders' involvement. And if we are indeed at a crossroads, as our title suggests, I think that's a good place to meet and greet and engage these new champions, and let us identify and encourage those new champions to come forward and work with us. Thank you.
Thank you, Antti. I'm pretty sure you will have time to develop the ideas you weren't able to.